towards the ground. There was. They said they've heard that a lot. There wasn't even a snake. Wasn't even a snake chasing them or nothing. I probably could have done it if there would have been a drop cord in there, because that thing's going to get hung on something for sure. No. All right, that's enough of that. I like my parishioners living. True. I don't know that I wouldn't handle a snake. I'm pretty sure I would before I jump out of a plane. Pretty sure. Well, it depends on what I had to handle him with. All right. If I have a pew-pew, we'll take on the snake. That won't help me jumping out of a plane. In fact, it could put a few holes in what could keep you. Never mind. Miss Kay, would you come and sing? I want you to sing whatever you want to sing, but I would really like for you to sing that song you sang, Thank You, Lord, or what was it? Yeah. And sing whatever she was going to sing, too, because you have a book. Appreciate that. I thought Lee was going to sing. Next time. How many votes we can get for that? All right, Philippians chapter 4. Lord willing, we will finish Philippians this afternoon. I was talking to Brother Michael before the service. One of these days I would like to complete preaching through the Psalms. I think we've made it to Psalm 87. I would like to preach a couple of sermons, or two or three maybe, on why I'm a fundamentalist. I want to get started in the book of Colossians. I want to preach through 1 and 2 Samuel. So there's plenty to preach, amen. The Bible's full of it. Amen. Let's begin reading in verse number 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Get this tongue untied. So Paul's talking to the church at Philippi. They had helped him financially, monetarily. We'll talk about that some more in a moment. And they were careful to do so. Verse number 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. We talked about that a great deal this morning. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so that's a great goal for us to set in our lives, that whatever state we're in, and please remember that these are things we'll have to learn. They don't come naturally. Verse number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer loss. And so it would be a good thing for us to learn how to be content when we are abased, or when we're troubled, or when things are not going our way. And that we would also learn to be content even when we are abounding, when things are going well, when things are in abundant supply, not to get sidetracked and away from the Lord. Verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We talked about keeping this verse in the context of the chapter, not to pull it out and allow it to be a standalone verse and try to make things acceptable or applicable or applicable that do not apply to that verse. And so I can do the things that the Lord requires of me, desires of me. I can do those through the Lord which strengthens me. Verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll stop reading right there. Lord, thank you for the good day that we've had, a good day in church, a good day of fellowship, a good time of singing together, praying together. We thank you for your many, many blessings upon us. We ask you to help us now as we look at these verses. Give us clarity of thought, understanding. Help us to relay those things in such a way that it'll be easily understood by the people. Help us, Lord, to refrain from saying things that would be contrary to your will or your way. And Lord, we sure need your help to do these things. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 14, we won't go back to anything we talked about this morning. Verse 14 says, "Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction." Now, we've talked about the word communicate before. The word communicate here obviously means much more than talking. It means financially help, or financial help, if you will. The broader definition becomes clear as we read verse 15, which we did in our reading. He said, also in the beginning of the gospel, when I parted from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And there's also, hold your place here and look at Galatians chapter 6 for just a moment. I could just read it to you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 6. Looking at this definition of communicate, the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So just as it's speaking of financial help in Philippians, it's talking about one man receiving the teaching, communicating that teaching to someone else, or teaching someone else those good things. So it has the idea of helping. Now, here Paul commended the Philippines for coming to his rescue when he needed help. He needed help, and they were there to stand by him and to help him. What a blessing. I'll read verse 15 again. "Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now, at the beginning of this verse, when Paul makes mention of in the beginning, or the beginning of the gospel, he's talking obviously about when he first took the gospel to the Philippians. And obviously we read that when we started the book of Philippians way back whenever. That occurred in Acts chapter 16 when he first went into Macedonia, and they had the prayer meeting by the riverside there with Lydia and her friends. So he's making mention of that again when he took the gospel, the beginning of the gospel. He said, no church communicated with me. So he is relaying to you and I that no one helped him in the journey. No one helped him financially. No one helped him monetarily, except for this church at Philippi. And so there's a couple of things that are really kind of, to me at least, they were eye-opening concerning this thing. We know for sure that Paul was sent by the church at Antioch, and apparently they didn't send financial help to help support the Apostle Paul. We know at that time the largest church, most likely, or the big church, the church at Jerusalem, which I believe James was the pastor of at the time, didn't send any financial support to help the Apostle Paul. And so as much as our church can be challenged in ministry, may the Lord help us to be involved in helping those who want to send forth the gospel. Amen. And so Paul is commending this church at Philippi for their love and their help towards him in these times. I don't want to limit ourselves in what we are able to do financially to help missionaries and people who are interested in spreading or propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we ought to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord and do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. I believe it's pleasing to God that the world be reached with the gospel, whether that be locally or whether it be around the globe, wherever the case may be, anywhere that someone is willing to go if they are preaching the right gospel. Obviously, there are guidelines for those kind of things, but we certainly want to be helpful to any and everyone that we can, amen. And so let's be sensitive to that. I understand that churches, let's talk just a little bit about churches just briefly, because of this thought that I just had concerning Paul. It's kind of fascinating to me that his home church that sent him out, they apparently were not helping him financially, and the church at Jerusalem was not helping him monetarily, apparently. And so I understand that churches have different identities, just like individuals do. And what I mean by that is it doesn't mean that we're free to do whatever we want to do. Amen. I'm not saying that at all. We have a Bible that gives us guidelines and directions. But some churches are better at some things than other churches are. It's just the identity of the church. Some people are more talented than others. Some have a better work ethic than others. Some sing better than others. Some teach better than others. But that doesn't mean that all of us should not teach, sing, or work. Amen. And so these churches, they have a different identity. Some are better at missions than others, but that doesn't mean all of us shouldn't be involved in missions. Some are better at public ministry than others, but I think all of us ought to be involved in public ministry. Some are better at Bible teaching than others, but I think we ought to teach the Bible in every church. Some are better at preaching than others, but I think there ought to be preaching in all churches, amen. And so it's not that some may be better or stronger, maybe it would be a better term in one other than another is. But however, all the churches ought to be involved in all of these things. And so may the Lord help us to be actively involved in missions and actively involved in the ministry and actively involved in Bible teaching and Bible preaching. We have our own identity as a church, but I don't want to be limited to doing what some other church does or does not do. I want to follow the leading of the Lord and do what the Lord would have us to do. Now, I made mention of just briefly at the beginning, didn't even really mean to, but I made the statement, the Lord builds the church, not me and not you. And we try to be faithful to minister, and very rarely do people come to the church that we minister to. That's just a fact. But the Lord always sends people to the church. And so what a blessing that is. We appreciate that. We appreciate the Lord's faithfulness in doing so. And so whatever it is that the Lord has given you to do, whatever the Lord has gifted you to do, we ought to be faithful to doing those things that God would have us to do. May the Lord help us to do that. Listen, don't run from God and don't run from your obligation to our church just because you feel like you'd be more comfortable here or more comfortable there or more comfortable somewhere else. It may be that the Lord has given you some strength that what you could use to be a blessing and a help to us here. So stay here and labor together with us, amen, and do what the Lord would have you to do for us. Be a blessing. We need each other. All of us have strengths and weaknesses, and that's how come God builds the church. And He has all of these intricate pieces, and some may be more noticeable than others, but none are more important than the other. And it takes those who labor physically. It takes those who labor spiritually. It takes those who labor financially. It takes those who labor in prayer. All of that is needful, amen. And so we're thankful that God builds the church. And so may the Lord help us to be true to our identity. I don't want to be anyone other than Bear Trail Baptist Church. And I want to be obedient to what God would have. I've gotten a lot of trouble in the past by trying to mimic what other people were doing in their ministry. And chalk that up to being ignorant, I guess. But I've learned that we do some things well. We do some things because the Bible tells us to do them. And we do some things because we like them. Amen. And may the Lord help us to be pleasing to Him in the work of the ministry. Now, look at verse 16. He said, for even in Thessalonica, he's speaking about the church of Philippi and their help towards him again. He said, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So Paul had needs. What we are reading here is a man is trying to establish a church in one area, and he's being financed by a church in another area. This is just flat out mission work and missionaries. Amen. And so we're thankful for church planting missionaries. We're thankful for help ministries. We're thankful for people who go across the street and tell their neighbor. We're thankful for people who stand on a street corner and tell their neighbor. We're thankful for people that witness to their family, folks that witness at work, and for people that go to Africa. Amen. We're thankful for wherever it is that God has you ministering. We want to help you in that area. Amen. And so they were helping the Apostle Paul. And so the church of Philippi wasn't one-time help. The Bible says that they did it once and again. And so they did it again in Thessalonica. So what a blessing. We send our missionary support. We used to send it monthly until we got so we have so many missionaries now that it's actually a big expense to do it monthly. And so we support our missionaries quarterly now. They get the same amount that they always have. They just get it in one large sum every 3 months or instead of every month. But anyway, so we help them missionaries. We help them again and again and again and again. And if they're able to come here, anytime that our missionary comes here to give us an update or report, we try to give them a good love offering. I want to be a blessing to missionaries. Amen. I want to be as helpful to them as I can. I want to be as big a blessing to them as I can. Same thing anytime we have a guest preacher, visiting preacher. I think the Lord honors those who honor His men, and I want to be found faithful in doing just that. And here, this is important, verse 17. Paul said, not because I desire a gift. And I don't think it's because those missionaries that are right with the Lord and those preachers and pastors that are right with God, it's not because they desire a gift. It's more that I desire, that our church desires to be a blessing and a help to them. And so Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And so here's the thing. The Philippians were helping Paul in his monetary needs, money, financially, whatever, all these benefits that he needed to make it. He was very thankful for the Philippian church for those gifts. But then he said here in verse number 17, I didn't desire those things. Now, we read that, but in the context, think about it. Paul has already stated that in whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. And so if he is being abased, he doesn't have enough, he's content with that. If he is abounding, he's content with that. He said, you know, these things are helpful, these things are needful, but not because I desire a gift. I'm glad you did it so God could give fruit to your account. And so what a heart, amen. And so it's not that the Apostle Paul, this is just a great Bible truth here. If you give from the heart to the work of the ministry, what fruit comes from that gospel ministry is counted or credited to your account. It's not, and sometimes we get this idea, well, Paul gets half and I get half. No, Paul's going to get full credit and the Church of Philippi is going to get full credit. And so what a blessing the Lord allows you and I. We have the means to make money. We are able to go out and work and labor, and the Lord prospers us in that. And we willingly, because we desire to be a blessing to others and to be keep the ministry going. So we give to the church and we give to the ministry and we give to missions. And the Lord uses those things not just the individual that's out there working and laboring in the ministry, but when their ministry is blessed, God blesses us. Equally, I believe that. One can't be done without the other, amen. And so we're thankful for the blessings of the Lord. So God is going to bless the one who's laboring on the field to do the job, and all the while they're receiving support, and God's going to bless that believer who stays back home working a job so that he can support that one that's doing the spiritual work. Sometimes we get this mentality and this idea, well, if this person isn't doing that, they're not right with God. You better be careful. All of this works together, amen. If everybody was a missionary, who's going to support them? And if everybody's at home working, who's going to get the work of God done? You got to have both, amen. And so I'm thankful. Brother Ron Ralph, I like it when he preaches our missions conference. He said, we're the ones that got it made. We're staying here working and giving them a little bit of money. And they're the ones having to learn a new language, leave their culture, and subject their family to all of these things. And so, man, what a blessing the Lord allows us to have a part in that ministry. Amen. Now, Paul is reminding the church at Philippi not of what their financial and material help would do for Paul, but what it would do for them. So that's what I'm trying to remind you of and encourage you as a church. Thank you very much for those of you who give. You give faithfully to the church to keep the church going. You give faithfully to missions to keep the missions going. I've been preaching on the radio, multiple radio stations now for years and years and years and years, and even years before I started pastoring. And ever since I've started pastoring, the church has been paying for the radio broadcast. That's a blessing, amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for your desire to keep those ministries going. And so our gifts to God's servants, missionaries, evangelists, pastors, full-time workers, several things. Those gifts are recorded by God according to verse number 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. The Lord's keeping up with that, amen. It's all recorded in a heavenly account. I guarantee you the Lord's a good bookkeeper. He knows every dime, every penny, every penny that was given sacrifice, every dime that was given sacrifice, the Lord knows all about it, amen. And so the gifts are rejoiced over by God. Look at verse number 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, don't miss this, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So not only is God keeping an account, not only is He recording what we are giving, but the Lord, it's well-pleasing to God. You want to do something that's pleasing to God? Be a blessing to His missionaries and people who are willing to give their life for the ministry of the gospel. That's well-pleasing to the Lord. That's a good place to say amen. It's okay. Now, so these gifts are rewarded by God. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Now, we'll get to this verse in a minute. But this is not, God's not just supplying your needs because you're a bum. It's because you were faithful in giving to the work of the ministry. And so we see those. These gifts are rewarded by God, and this reward is both here and in eternity both, according to verse 17. Now look at verse 18, we'll go on. Paul said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I'll just say this because it just crossed my mind. I know you shouldn't say everything that crosses your mind, but sometimes I do. Some people say, I can't afford to give. Can I just tell you something? I can't afford not to give. I promise you, I can do far more with less, trusting God with my finances, than I can with all that God allows me to make and me spending it the way I see fit and leaving God out. I can't afford not to give. And so the Lord records and the Lord blesses and He takes well-pleasing to the Lord. I think it'd be good for you to just trust the Lord. Amen. Preacher, I didn't plan on preaching on giving, so somebody here must have quit giving. So I'm just going to tell you, just like it is. Amen. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And you say, well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It is God's will that you be faithful to give. If you'll make that commitment, I've challenged people before. If you will, out of an honest heart before God, if you will, I'm getting plumb way on, all the way over here on giving. Right back there above that box, there's the New Testament directions for giving. As a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. And the verse goes on. I want to tell you that you purpose an amount in your heart that you want to give to the Lord, and you do that for 1 year, and after that year, you look back. I promise you that year is going to go better for you than the year when you decide, I'm going to keep it all myself, and I'm just going to do what I want to with it, and God can do the best He can. Can I tell you, God doesn't need your money, but He will bless you for trusting Him. All right, so whoever you are that has quit giving, I would get back on the bandwagon, amen. Now, he said here in this verse, but I have all and abound, I am full. So Paul again is speaking of his contentment, I have all, I am full. Now, we first read of this Epaphroditus in chapter 2. Come back to chapter 2, verse 25. He was the Christian brother whom the Philippians sent to the Apostle Paul with a care package of sorts. Look what the Bible says here in chapter 2, verse 25. It says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So the Lord had used him. The Philippians had gotten some things together, used him as a messenger to deliver those things to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul said, I have all and abound, I am full. So look, Paul said, he was talking earlier, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Whether he is abased or whether he is abounding, he is content. But now that Epaphroditus had brought these things for him, he doesn't have to be abased. He said, I abound, I have all, I abound, and I am full. What a blessing. Now let me ask you, if you truly love missionaries, wouldn't you rather see them having all and abounding and being full than eating rice and beans and rice? I like rice and beans, but I don't want them for every meal. And so I want them to be able, you know, I want a missionary to be able to take his children to the doctor if they get sick, just like I'd like to take mine. If his wife or if he himself has a accident and needs, so I like for them to be able to get the same medical attention I'd be able to get. I wasn't planning on preaching on missions, but it works from this chapter pretty easy, amen. Now, notice that their giving to Paul was a sacrifice. Look at this. He said, but I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. I can tell you from the study of the tabernacle just a few weeks ago, that's pleasing to the Lord. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And so whatever it was that this church at Philippi got together for the Apostle Paul, they sacrificed to do so. I think it would be safe to say that the majority of our giving is out of our abundance rather than sacrifice. And you know, I believe in this church of Philippi, whatever it was that they sent to the Apostle Paul, it was a sacrifice for them. Now, if something is a sacrifice, you're giving till it hurts. There's very few people that give till it hurts. You might have to give up a pleasure or two. And by the way, I can't give. I guarantee you I could trim your budget and you could give a lot next week. But you'd have to get rid of, you know, satellite and cable TV and cell phones and eating out and that kind of stuff. And, you know, we can't do without those luxuries. Now where's Brother Ron at when I need him? Sit around. I need to call him. So most of our giving is out of our missions. These people, out of our abundance. These people were giving sacrificially. Listen, if you won't give, your heart's not right. This just keeps on. These rabbits just jumping off the page. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you won't tithe and you won't give to missions, I don't care how spiritual you act, you are not right with God. And you can not like me for that or whatever you want to do, but I think you would have to throw half of the Bible away to prove otherwise. Amen. Y'all want to read my notes? There ain't none of this in here. I don't even know where I'm at. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, just like the verse I mentioned this morning, verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. This is another verse that you can't, this is not an unconditional promise. You can't just jerk this verse out of the chapter and use it as a standalone verse because you think you can live and act and do anything you want to do and whatever your need is, God's just always going to meet that need. That's not what it's talking about. This is a conditional promise. And this conditional promise is based upon the fact that they bailed out the Apostle Paul in his time of need. God has promised them that He is going to supply their need according to His riches in Christ, their need according to His riches in Christ Jesus, because they gave sacrificially to help the Apostle Paul. And so, if you're not willing to give to the ministry, to the church, and missions, and then you expect that God's just going to meet your every need, you didn't get that from the Bible. You got that from one of those prosperity preachers that Brother Jordan was talking about this morning, amen. So, listen, a man can live without wealth, he can live without health, he can live without education, he can live without social standing, but a man cannot function without his basic needs being met, and God can meet those needs, amen. Now, I've heard this comment by a couple of different preachers now, Brother Rob Carlson, the last one that I heard this from, but I have actually heard it from other preachers. If I named them, you'd know them. And this is not verbatim, but pretty much a quote for what they said. I have never had to counsel a Christian yet who faithfully and consistently gave to the church and missions who was in a financial difficulty they couldn't get out of. That's pretty profound. And I can add myself to that list. I haven't ever either. And so I'm telling you, like the Apostle Paul told the church of Philippi, I want you to give so God can bless you. He said, the church, I didn't desire a gift, Paul said, but they gave. I'm glad they did because God's going to bless them for it. Right. Amen. Now, that's a Bible promise. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, let me remind you this as well. God doesn't promise to give us everything in our wish list. In our wish list, amen. But isn't it also fun? But look at this. Now, I say that. Look at this in Psalm 37. God doesn't promise to give us everything in our wish list. But I can tell you this. God's given me far more than I deserve. And even He even goes beyond that. Look at this. I tell you right now, you can't go wrong trusting the Lord. He is faithful. Look at this right here in Psalms 37. I like this a lot. Verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now look at this next phrase. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I don't have a blank check. God's not going to just give me all of my wishes and all of that. I understand that. But I'll tell you this. The Lord has given me a lot of the desires of my heart. In fact, the Lord has given me most of the desires of my heart. And what a blessing. You can't get a deal like that at Walmart, amen. Burger King will let you have it your way right away, but the Lord can do better than that, amen. Philippians 4:20. Look at verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. All the glory belongs to the Lord. All the glory belongs to God. I got a list of verses this long. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be honor and glory forever. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Now I'll read this one. Revelation 1:6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this one place. Come to Isaiah 42. We're to give Him glory forever and ever. But I want to read this one in Isaiah 42, because I want you to understand it. He will not share His glory with anyone. And that includes you and me. Look at Isaiah 42. Look at this verse. Isaiah 42. And verse number 8. Isaiah 42, verse number 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And so the Lord, Paul said, to whom now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. And the Lord said, I will not give my glory to another. Now come back to Philippians chapter 4. I'm trying to finish up. We'll look at these last three verses just quickly. Verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, Paul was a testimony wherever he went. We know that. He had obviously won folks to Christ in Caesar's palace. What a blessing. And so he makes mention here, among those who worked in Caesar's household, all the saints salute you, chiefly, mostly, more importantly, they that are of Caesar's household. And so, although Paul could have wept over why he's in the situation he's in the condition that he's in, he could have pouted and not done anything for the Lord, but he's writing Scripture, he's witnessing, he's winning people to Christ. Obviously, people even in Caesar's household, he's winning to Christ. And he said, I salute you, the saints here salute you, and oh, by the way, these new converts that are in Caesar's household, they salute you as well, amen. Paul, in prison, in unfavorable conditions, faithful to the Lord, still winning people to Christ, the church at Philippi, funding him to do that, receives equal reward that Paul does for those people being saved. What a blessing, amen. I want to be a part of this, amen. I want to get in on it, don't you? Now, as much as names in the Bible are important. We have Epaphroditus and others even mentioned here in the book of Philippians. But we aren't given any of the names in Caesar's household. I think that's an interesting thing. I think sometimes, I don't know why, this is telemology. That means it doesn't mean a thing. I think none of those people in Caesar's household are mentioned because the Lord doesn't need celebrity Christians. He mentions these people who are pretty much, as far as the world's concerned, nobodies. And he gives their name and the work that they do, the ministry they do. But there's, you know, not many celebrities. And as I'm sure that there's some celebrities that are saved. I'm happy if everybody knows the Lord. But a whole lot of those people just make a big mess and bring reproach upon the name of Christ. And if one of them is your friend, I'm sorry. I hope they live godly in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a blessing. This whole book of the book of Philippians is about joy and rejoicing. Not one time in the entire four chapters is the word sin or sins even mentioned. May the Lord help us to have the kind of desire to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And what a blessing it is to be around Christians who are joyful, rejoicing in the things of the Lord. I like that a lot better than these long faces. Dare you ask them anything because you'll have to listen to them cry for an hour. There's some people I do not ask how they're doing. And I make no apology for not asking them. Because they're going to tell me. And a week later when I can finally get somebody to get me away from them, I have to go repent and ask the Lord to help me because I'm discouraged and defeated and depressed. And listen, I say that. I'm not saying I'm not sympathetic to your needs. I am. But God's good to us, man. And He's been far better to any of us than we deserve. And if any of us got what we deserve, we'd be far less off than we are now. So I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your kindness toward us. Thank you for this book of Philippians. It's been a tremendous blessing in my heart. And I pray you'd help me, Lord, to live by the example of the Apostle Paul. Lord, I have not got there yet, but I want to be able to, in whatever state that I am in, to therewith be content. Would you help me to learn how to be abased and also learn how to abound? Help me to ever keep in mind that the Lord is at hand. And I'm glad, Lord, to know that you can strengthen me. I'm glad, Lord, that you're keeping records and all of my needs. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I want to be as faithful as I can because I know you are always faithful. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.